Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a percussion layer arrange lab for a rag-infused chaos section in Ableton Live 12. And I want to be clear right away, this is not about just throwing more drums on the screen and hoping for energy. We are designing controlled disorder, the kind of rhythmic burst that feels wild, musical, and intentional, like it could slam into a drop, split open a roller, or turn a regular phrase into something that feels alive and dangerous. In drum and bass, percussion layers do a ton of the heavy lifting. They push the track forward when the main break starts looping too predictably. They create call and response with the kick, snare, and bass. They build tension before a switch up. And in raggle-leaning or jungle-influenced music, they give the whole track that street-level, system-tested character. So the goal here is simple. Create a 4-to-8-bar percussion arrangement that feels like chaos, but still makes sense in the mix. Let's set up the project first. Create 3 MIDI tracks and 1 return track. Name them something practical so you stay organized. Main perk layer, top perk and hats, raga texture and FX perk, and a return called short space. On each MIDI track, load a drum rack. Keep the sounds separated by roll. On the main perk layer, put rims, small congas, toms, clap layers, and break slices. On the top layer, use closed hats, shakers, tambourines, and tiny ride ticks. On the raga texture lane, use vocal chops, one-shot shouts, wood hits, noise hits, and reversed percussion. Before anything else, place a utility first on each track and pull the gain down a bit, around -6 dB. That gives you headroom. In DNB, percussion stacks can get loud fast, and if you start too hot, the bass and snare will have nowhere to land. Now, here's an important mindset shift. Think in rolls, not samples. Every sound should answer a question. Does it push? Does it punctuate? Does it decorate? If it does none of those, cut it. For the core groove, start with a break rather than random hits. Drag in a jungle-style break or an amen-style loop on the main layer. If you want more control, slice it into MIDI so you can edit individual hits. In simpler, slice mode is your friend here. Set the transient sensitivity so the important hits are cleanly separated. Now build the MIDI pattern with intention. Keep the kick and snare relationship recognizable. Add ghost notes before or after the snare. Remove one or two obvious hits every couple of bars so the groove breathes. And duplicate tiny fragments, maybe 1/16th or 1/8th slices, to create momentum. This is where a lot of people go wrong. They quantize everything too hard. Don't do that. Let the break feel human. Try a little groove swing. Maybe 50 to 70% if you're using the groove pool, or just manually nudge a few hat-like slices a tiny bit late. That slight looseness is part of the attitude. If a slice feels too sharp, soften it. Lower the slice volume or clip gain. And if you want the smaller hits to speak more clearly, put a saturator after simpler with a little drive, maybe 2 to 5 dB. That helps the quiet details cut through without making the whole layer louder. Now move to the top percussion lane. This is your motion layer, the engine oil. It should keep things moving without stealing the spotlight. Build a pattern with closed hats on offbeats, shaker 16ths, with a few omissions, maybe an open hat on the end of 2 or 4, and a ghost hit leading into the snare in bar 2 or bar 4. Then shape it, put on an auto filter, and high pass it around 200 to 400 Hz so it stays out of the low end. Add drum boss if you want a little extra attitude, but keep it subtle. Drive around 5 to 10% is usually enough. And if the stereo field gets weird or too wide, use utility to narrow it down. For arrangement, try this kind of arc. Bars 1 and 2, sparse, just enough shaker and offbeat hats to imply movement. Bars 3 and 4, add a few extra doubles leading into the snare. Bars 5 and 6, bring in another shaker or tambourine layer. Then bars 7 and 8, suddenly thin it out. That reduction is just as important as the buildup. Bass creates tension. Now for the fun part, the raga texture lane. This is where the personality lies. Load in vocal chops, little shouts, conga taps, wood blocks, reverse hit tails, or any cleared reggae or raga style one shot you've got. Don't spam these sounds everywhere. Use them like answers in a conversation. After a snare, before a fill, at the end of bar 4 or bar 8, as a phrase marker that tells the listener something is about to happen. A really effective chain here is auto filter, echo, reverb, saturator, and utility. High pass or band pass the sample so it doesn't cloud the mix. Use a short, tempo-locked echo, maybe 1/16th or 1/8th, with low feedback. Add a small room reverb, not a giant wash. A little saturator helps the chop punch through. And if the chop feels too wide or too distracting, narrow it with utility. The trick is to make it feel thrown into the groove, not pasted on top of it. A vocal hit that answers the snare every two bars can instantly turn a basic roller into something that has identity. Now we start turning the percussion into an arrangement instead of a loop. Automate the filter on the top layer so it opens over time. For example, move from around 400 Hz up to maybe 10 kHz across a few bars, then snap it back down. That opening and closing motion gives the section a sense of shape. On the rag lane, automate a reverb throw on just the last hit of bar 4 or bar 8. You don't want reverb all the time. You want moments. If you briefly raise echo feedback on a vocal chop to 30 or 40% for a fill, that can create a little burst of excitement. Then you pull it back immediately. You can also automate drum bus drive on the main layer for a small lift into the switch up, then ease it back after. Even little utility gain rides can make key hits land harder. A strong 8-bar pattern might look like this. Bars 1 and 2 introduce the top percussion. Bars 3 and 4 bring in the main break layer more fully. Then at the end of bar 4 you hit a ragga chop and a reverse hit as a freeze marker. Bars 5 and 6 go heavier, with more ghost notes and maybe a doubled shaker. Bar 7 strips one hat lane away. Bar 8 gives you a fill, a riser, or a tip-stop style texture to launch the next section. That kind of phrase design is classic drum and bass. The listener expects pressure and release over short spans. If you keep everything full all the time, the ears adapt and the energy flattens out. The trick is to keep changing the surface. Now let's talk timing and feel. Ableton Live 12 gives you a lot of control over groove. If everything is grid perfect, your percussion might sound busy but sterile. So keep the kick and snare more stable, and let the hats and shakers lean slightly loose. Apply a light swing groove to the top percussion only. Shift some ragga chops a little late for swagger, and vary velocities. Velocity is not just expression. In D&B percussion, velocity is arrangement. A hit at 35 and the same hit at 100 can feel like two completely different parts. Use lower velocities for ghost notes and mid-range values for supporting hits. Save the big velocities for accents. That contrast gives the groove shape. Also, leave micro gaps on purpose. A tiny hole before a snare or vocal chop often creates more urgency than another fill would. Sometimes the most powerful move is subtraction. Once the layers are working, route them all to a percussion bus or group. On the group channel, add a glue compressor with gentle settings, maybe 2-to-1 ratio, a slightly slower attack, and auto or a medium release. Then add drum bus for a little weight and cohesion, and use EQ to clear out any mud in the 200 to 400 Hz zone if the stack starts sounding boxy. This bus should feel controlled, not crushed. You want the layers to move together, but you still want the transients to breathe. And always check mono. If the groove collapses or loses punch in mono, reduce stereo whitening and keep the important hit center, since this lesson sits in the atmospheres area too. Don't treat ambience like background wallpaper. Use it to frame the percussion. Add a little room tone, vinyl noise, distant alley ambience, reverse reverb tails, or filtered crowd texture on a separate audio or return track. High pass it aggressively so it doesn't fight the drums, then automate it to react to the percussion. Open the filter a bit when the ragga chop lands, pull it down when the snare hits hard, bring it up during pre-drop bars or breakdown moments. That way, the atmosphere becomes a shadow around the rhythm instead of a wash over everything. Here's a really useful intermediate move. Resample a chaos pass. Route the percussion group to a new audio track and record one or two bars while you tweak automation in real time. Then chop out the best little fill, reverse one hit, duplicate a tiny vocal chop, or layer the rendered fill quietly under the original. Resampling turns performance into material, and that's huge for D&B. You can even pitch the resampled fill down a little for menace, or filter it so it becomes a transition effect before the next drop. A few things to watch out for. If too many layers are fighting the snare, mute them one at a time and keep only the parts that actually add motion or response. If everything is wide, narrow it down. Keep the backbone centered and let only the texture and tail feel wide. If the section has no phrase development, make at least one change every two bars. That could be a removed hit, a filter move, a fill, or a new texture. And if your ragga chops feel random, place them as call and response after key drum hits, not just in every empty gap. Also, if the percussion feels too clean, a little grime helps. You can slightly degrade one layer with saturator and a narrow band pass filter, or resample and blend a second dirty pass under the original at a low level. That can give the section a lived-in, sampled from the system kind of character. If you want a stronger variation idea, alternate two identities every four bars. For example, Bars 1 through 4 could be dry and tight, then bars 5 through 8 could be a more roomy, smeared or distorted version. Same basic groove, different vibe. That contrast keeps the listener engaged without needing a bunch of extra notes. Another powerful trick is the negative fill. Instead of adding more hits, remove the main top layer for half a bar, and let only a ragga texture or a single break slice survive. That absence becomes the fill. It's subtle, but in drum and bass, subtle can hit harder than obvious. So here is the overall workflow one more time. Build clear lanes. Main break, top motion, ragga texture. Keep each part doing one job. Shape the groove with timing, velocity, and small gaps. Use automation to open and close the energy. Bus it together with restraint. Frame it with atmosphere. And when it's ready, resample the best chaos and turn that into a transition or fill.